fun podcast upcoming here. We appreciate you listening to the FIU Athletics Pod. We're up on Apple Podcasts now as well. And certainly many of us have a lot of time on our hands now. Appreciate you listening. I'm AJ Ricketts, and it's great to have an FIU legend, an FIU great join us here. Jonathan Cyprian, of course, was one of the best to ever wear an FIU jersey. He was a safety for the Panthers through 2012 and has obviously done terrific things in the NFL thus far. But first, Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking some time. How have you been through all of this the last month?
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. But, you know, I've been good. It's been a lot easier for me because my family's healthy. I've been healthy. But just going through the day-to-day struggles, I guess everyone's doing. But like we spoke before, we got on there, you know, business has to be done as usual. There's a lot of stuff still going on, but it's just a lot of it going on at home.
I was reading your article that you wrote on the Players Tribune. You said you were in South Africa when the news broke. Where were you? What were you doing? I think the day this really became real for so many people, at least in the sports world, right, was with the day Rudy Gobert tested positive. And the NBA shuts down, and then really everything else follows. I think that was the surreal day, the surreal moment for so many people. Where were you, and what was that moment like as you started to think that, hey, maybe this will affect – the NFL season down the road? But just take me through that day, what it was for you.
Yeah, absolutely. When Rudy Gobert tested, obviously nobody knew what happened. They just canceled a game, and an entire arena of people watching a game, well, came to watch a game and having to leave,
yeah,
and not having it explained to them until, you know, about an hour after the fact. It was crazy. Now, I was in South Africa as it started to escalate. And I was kind of like glad, like, dang, all right, I'm in South Africa and I'll be out in time. I do believe, I'm trying to remember exactly, was I still in South Africa when it happened or not?
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at the TV and that happened, it was definitely like, okay, there's a big step in sports right now. And like basketball has been doing for the past couple of years, they've been leading the way with if it's social injustice.
Absolutely.
Or, I mean, yeah, this happened to be a pandemic. And, you know, the step that they took really made an impact on what the United States started doing going forward.
Well, let me ask, because I remember seeing on social media when that was all happening, the people who were coming in on flights from out of the country and the lines in the airport to get screened. Did you have to go through any of that? Were you waiting in the airport for hours, or were you able did you manage to avoid that chaos?
Oh, thank God I was able to avoid that. I mean, that's probably one of the worst things,
right,
is getting held up in the airport. But at the airport at the time, I had a mask. So, because I understood that going out of the country, obviously at the time in America, it wasn't bad. But out of the country, weren't so sure. So even going to South Africa, I did have a mask and took some precautions. But It was tough, and those lines and stuff grew as I was already in South Africa.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like nobody's buying plane tickets. They're dirt cheap.
No, dirt cheap, and it's not the time to travel either. No, not at all. Yeah. Well, let me ask this. I think it's an interesting dynamic for athletes right now. I was training for the Boston Marathon. That was supposed to be on Monday. And we were in Dallas for the Conference USA tournament for FIU, and I'm running on the treadmill, and then the news of Rudy broke hours later. But I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know what I'm training for right now. This marathon's probably not happening. I'm grinding right now on this treadmill, but I really rather just go to happy hour right now, because I think this is probably not going to happen. I mean, you're take me for you when you're working out, because you're still putting hours in the gym. Do you feel that uncertainty, or is working out an escape for you right now? You don't even know there's a pandemic when you're putting in the work, or are you fully conscious that, hey, I don't even know if I'm going to have a season this year? What is that dynamic as you're trying to put in work, and it's just an uncertain time?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. Yo, like for me personally, and, you know, everybody has their own going to have their own opinion on it, obviously, but for me personally, it kind of works out, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because last year, I suffered an injury, and that had me out for the year on injured reserve. And right, and then during that time, I got a scope in my knee, so I pretty much had to have surgery on my knee, just to get a repair to get it back to full, to back to 100%. So during this time, we should be at our respective teams currently, practicing, doing something we call off-season training. We call it OTAs, and OTAs pretty much you work out with the team, so on and so forth. But also during this time, I'm a free agent, and a lot of free agents, this is where you go to visit teams and you do workouts and you do medical physicals. So this actually, in my case, it gave me at least a month once America put a lockdown procedure on pretty much on the country until the end of April.
Yeah.
It pretty much gave me to the end of April to be as healthy as any other free agent going in to free agency or going into this next season. So as I train this moment, it's more about just make sure I'm getting healthy. So regardless if there's football or not, I want to be healthy, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I train 5 days a week, just still training, and I have that motivation just to be as healthy as possible. But at the same, with that same token, I train the same place where other former teammates or friends of mine who are professional athletes work out at. And man, I'm chilling with Hassan Whiteside over in Miami as we're training, and these guys have no idea what's going to go on. They're even speaking about it during the workout. Man, are we going to just jump right into playoffs?
Yeah, those guys are right in the middle of it.
Yeah, so they're right in the middle of it. So it's crazy. And for the NFL aspect of it, I mean, you know, things are clearing up. Today, in Florida, up in Jacksonville, I think beaches started to open up. So it seems like it's going in the right direction. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'd love to go to the beach right now, but as long as everyone's 6 feet apart, I don't know if they were 6 feet apart, but who knows?
So, I don't know. Things are clearing up medically, or I don't know the numbers and how the virus is being controlled, or is it under control enough for it to start gaining control, for us to start going back to normal. But if it is, you know, our season doesn't start until September.
Yeah.
So honestly, the football athletes, we're thinking that, yes, we would have a season. That's what we think. But who knows? I mean, the basketball thought they were going to have an entire season as well.
When you stretch your career out, I mean, a lot of guys aren't in the league more than 3 or 4 years. So when you've been in the league for quite some time now, when you have been, there's certainly different stages, different phases of a career. And I know you're on the bounce back from the injury, and we're all excited to see what comes out on the other side of that. We'll talk about what's upcoming, but I want to rewind a little bit. I think your story is awesome. Look, I thought it was fascinating. You didn't start at North Miami Beach until your senior year, because you said that was the dynamic of that program. A lot of seniors started. You waited your turn. You had two offers as a part of that: Western Michigan, FIU. Western Michigan had just gone 9-4. What was going through your head during that process? FIU was still a pretty young program when you were making this decision, hadn't made the transition that long ago. What went into staying home and deciding to go to FIU at that point in time?
You know, what went into it was, you know, Coach Cristobal and the whole staff at FIU, for one, you know, the way that they recruited was unbelievable. With that, I would even say when I was being recruited by FIU, I was one recruit out of four guys who were offered. And out of those four guys, I was the last one to receive my offer. So, I mean, even with FIU, you know, it was boom, I got it pretty much right in time. But FIU, when they did, you know, they were fully committed to me, and they came in. And the day I remember the day I committed, they came in with every single coach on the staff to our school, and wouldn't leave until one of us committed. You know what I mean?
So, you had the full court press on you. Every recruit loves to have that.
Yeah, so that was cool. That was pretty cool. And, yeah, I did get those offers late. I did end up starting late because of that, and maybe even because I was a late bloomer. You know what I mean? As I got older, and I understand even when I'm in a game to this day, I just get better as I'm out there, get better as I go, better as the game goes on. So, going through that process, I really just had to trust in God, and I really, like, meditated on it. And after weighing the pros and cons out, the last thing that went through my mind was to just trust my gut feeling.
Yeah.
And I had a gut feeling that FIU was the right one. And let me tell you, 17, 18-year-old, I mean, it's tough to be making that decision of where you want to go. You know what I mean? When I think about it now, I would never think that you knew where, you know, we know what's best for us even at that time. But there was, you know, some of me didn't want to be in Miami. You know, you go to college at that age, like, man, I want to go away from home. I want to be able to, you know, be on my own. Maybe FIU be too close. And it was pros and cons of everything. But after going to FIU and choosing it, man, I'm glad that I did. It worked out so beautifully, so perfectly. I mean, I just remember times at Thanksgivings where I got to bring some of my teammates back to my house and eat, or even bring some food back for them. Same thing for Christmas. I'm able to be with my family, and me having teammates from all over the world, well, all over America, like, for example, Philadelphia or Chicago, you know, and not them not being able to have that experience, you know, throughout those years of college, I started to appreciate it, you know. So that's one thing about FIU and my whole decision. It really did work out for me.
Now, you know, FIU, even still today, the discussion, the narrative of building a tradition, building a program, that's still part of the works of a university that has less than 20 years of football. But you guys were part of the first group in the Sun Belt to really get things rolling. But it might not have appeared like that right away. You mentioned, I think you were asking the Shula Bowl pod a couple months ago. They asked what your most memorable moment as a Panther was. And you referenced your sophomore year, 2010. That year started 0-4, but you guys were competitive, right? Close losses to Rutgers, Texas A&M, on the road at Maryland was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter. But then you rattle off 6 of the next 7. That included a double overtime win at Louisiana Monroe. You put up 52 at Troy. And people might look back at the schedule and see those back-to-back games, but right, Sip, going to Monroe and Troy, Alabama, back-to-back weeks is not an easy thing to do from Miami. Those are two small towns to get to. They're not easy to get to, and picking up wins against two talented teams. And then you obviously cap it with the bowl win. Just take me through that point in time when you started to turn it around. Where did things change, and did you guys still have confidence when you were 0-4, but a lot of those games are against Power 5 schools, and you were holding their feet to the fire?
Yeah, exactly. We understood that, you know, we had these conference games coming up, and the games that we lost so early were not games that we were unmatched. We understood that leaving those games, we left wins on the field. We left points on the field. I mean, I remember in, I think we ended up losing to Texas A&M that same year after being up going into halftime in Texas A&M. You know, we definitely understood what we had around us, but we just didn't take that next step yet. And just like you said, you know, when I got there, it was even a younger program, you know, it was only, 20-year history behind it when I got there. So one thing I can tell you about a football team or teams who've been winning for long periods of time is just that they have the culture of knowing how to win. And I think that's just the growing stage that we needed to do. And, you know, it was a point of time where enough was enough after those four games. We kind of used that week in between playing those Power 5 schools or out-of-conference schools, going into the conference to try to just refresh and put our foot down. And that's exactly what we did. Obviously, we had talented players to help us do that and coaches that steered us in the right direction. But we got on the field and we made those plays and pretty much had the had the motivation to get it done, no matter, you know, no matter what, no matter what. And then once you get that, once we, I think, got what, 2 or 3 wins under our belt, you know, we started going out there with that swagger, like, we're not coming here trying to win. We know we're going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's what changed. And just going into that bowl game was, that's definitely a memorable season for me playing football.
I mean, the bowl game, obviously the finish is well chronicled, but it's easy with the way that game ended to forget how it started. You guys, we were down 14-0 and then 21-7. Had to work your way back into that game. What do you remember about that game? And I also want to ask you about who you played for that season, the defensive coordinator, Jeff Collins, who obviously is at Georgia Tech right now. I love seeing what he's doing at Tech, because half the time he's tweeting about Waffle House, which is my favorite spot, man. I don't know if you're a Waffle House person, but Jeff Collins loves Waffle House. But I know when he was at FIU, the get your chili hot defensive mentality and the pressure he put on opponents. What was you remember Jeff during huddles or during the early part of that game when you guys were struggling, and then you turn it around and the defense was so sharp in the second half to help you guys come back?
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something about that. The year before, my freshman year, we were ranked close to last in defense overall in the country. By the end of the 2000, my sophomore season, 2010-2011 season, we were rated, I believe, number 32 to 36, you know, so.
And you're tops in the Sun Belt. You were number one as well.
Absolutely. We're number one in the Sun Belt, number 32 in the country. That's out of 132 teams. So we did real well, and we improved tremendously. And it was definitely because of Coach Collins in our huddle telling us, you know, run to the ball, attack, calling the plays that he knew would work and putting us in the right position. You know, he's a fiery guy, and the energy and the focus is all during the week with him. And come game time, really, it's really all up to us. He's calling the plays from the sideline, and we're really going. There's a few times where maybe we're not, for example, the bowl game where we start off 14-0. You know what I mean? Is where sometimes maybe he has to intervene,
yeah,
and just give us a little bit of push for all our teammates and the captains just to step up and just kind of bring a little bit more out of us. But man, I tell you, it was special to play for him. That year was real special, and it's funny you say that. I was just speaking to Coach Popovich. He was my defensive back coach in FIU. Mm-hmm. He's also at Georgia Tech with Jeff Collins right now. And Georgia Tech.
No one will ever forget the Motor City Miracle and that final field goal to conclude the season. But then you fast forward to 2011, and I was doing some prep for this and just searching around on YouTube. Sip, FIU got a lot of national attention this past season, obviously with the Miami win. They were getting some national love at the start of 2011. You guys start the season 3-0. That included a big time win at Louisville. TY went off in that game, obviously. You stood out yourself too. I think you had 11 tackles, 2 pass breakups. 3-0, College Game Day does a 3-minute feature on you guys. They're up in West Virginia. Chris Fowler does a leap. They had Mario mic'd up. Like, 3 minutes on College Game Day is a significant amount of time for a team that is 9 years old and it's still in its relative infancy. I mean, did you guys feel that buzz? I mean, it was tough, the loss to, I think, one of the Louisiana teams after that game day segment, but obviously still had a good season. But especially when you start at 3-0 with wins against Louisville and UCF, did you feel that buzz during the early part of the season?
Yeah, we did. We definitely did. That was, and we just carried that over. To next year. Jeff Collins ended up leaving, and we got Todd Orlando. He was our new defensive coordinator, and he was kind of around the same concept, definitely a different style of person, but the same quarters concept. And he was very knowledgeable in playing and defenses and just figuring things out during the game, like making adjustments. But, man, that run, College Day made that Louisville game, it was amazing. It's so great to go into somebody's home and beat them in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or going out there and they're quiet. They're all first half, they're loud, having a great time, cheering and everything, and then you shut up.
Sit. Let me ask you. When they had the ball at their own 3-yard line, you're up by a touchdown, but there's only 38 seconds left. Were you nervous during that drive at all? Did you know you'd be all right?
Nervous? Nah. Look, I can never be nervous at the position I play.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because if I'm nervous, I'm a safety, and if anybody doesn't know what a safety does, we're pretty much the last line of defense. That's where we get our name from, the safety, 9 times out of 10. So it's either I'm not letting anything go over my head because the game's on the line, but obviously at the line of scrimmage, I was just thinking of making that stop, you know? So it's just exciting, man, and playing in games like that is what you play the game for.
So you finish out your career, obviously, you rewrite some records in your time at FIU. You start to prepare for the draft. You end up 33rd pick, second round to Jacksonville. You played well in the Senior Bowl. You weren't able to compete at the Combine, but you did get that Super Bowl. We got the draft coming up right now. Does it bring back that process for you? I mean, was it a whirlwind? Was it a stressful couple of months? Just take me through preparing for the draft and trying to put yourself in the best situation.
Yeah, well, preparing for the draft is the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and of course your tape from what you did in college. And yeah, you know what, I gotta be honest with you, it's a real grind. It's a lot of pressure, it's a lot of up and down, and it's a lot of curiousness. I mean, if I were to just tell you one day that, 3 months from now, you're going to have to pick up and move to a state of my choice. You know what I mean? You have no idea where you're going to go.
Yeah.
So there's no planning. There's nothing for it. And, kid from South Florida, I never left the state of Florida really until after Jacksonville. If you think about it, I never left the state of Florida until I was 26
yeah,
years old.
Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, if you just think about it that way. And when I was in college, obviously throughout high school and college, I was always in South Florida. So to me, I'm thinking, man, what if I have to move to the West Coast? I want to stay close to family. Not only that, you want to get your body ready. You're eating right. You're totally dedicated to just making your body perform as well as possible at these tests so that you can get drafted as high as possible. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of pressure, but it became fun, and you just enjoy the experience.
Well, it's been fun to watch the current crop of guys, right, go through the process. James Morgan, obviously the quarterback, Stanley Thomas Oliver, they were invited to the combine, and I'd certainly be confident in Sage Lewis, Anthony Jones, Napoleon Maxwell, giving it their best shot to make something work in the NFL as well. Don't know if you've linked up with any of these guys or if you've talked to them before, but if you give advice to the current crop, the next crop of FIU guys making their way for the draft process and preparing for that, and then once they do get drafted, that rookie year, what's important coming out of FIU, coming out of Conference USA? What's important during this point in time?
What's important during this point in time, is just to stay focused, and wherever you go, I just leave it in God's hands. I think, I believe that, nothing happens by chance, really. So just believe that wherever you end up is where God wanted you to be. You know what I mean? And once you get into the building, I know for myself, as a rookie, I understood that I didn't want to be a liability anymore. I never wanted to be somebody that had to get pulled along. I wanted to make sure I held my own weight and just dedicated myself to studying and just performing as well as I can on the field. Once you do that, performing on the field, is things tend to be a lot easier. You know what I mean? It's whether you're interacting with the city that you're in, your teammates, and just living a life, I guess, as an adult, most likely on your own, unless you bring, someone with you, or your family, or whatever city you're in, you know what I mean? I'll just say always keep the main thing the main thing. And when I say that, keep the most important thing at your highest priority. And when I say that, it's just your job, you know. At this point, any rookie's point or anybody in the NFL, after your family, your work is number one priority, and working is what's going to put food on the table. So just doing what you have to do, which every man that makes it to a professional level knows what you have to do. It's just going to take the discipline to actually do it, you know. So that's all I would say. Stay focused and do what you need to do, and put everything else to follow what you have to do to be your best at your career.
So if I want to go back and maybe delve into your mindset a little bit throughout your time, just maybe your mindset you take as an athlete, let me explain it this way. So I ran in college, right? So when I was competing or training, seven guys travel, right, on a cross-country roster. When I knew that I was going to travel, when I knew that I was on that travel roster, whether it be because of injuries, the eighth guy got hurt, whatever it may be, as an athlete, you know, we're always going to train hard. We're always going to get after it. But, you know, I'll admit, I don't know if I displayed that same hunger. Maybe it was unconsciously, but there certainly was almost a daily stress when there was more than seven people. And I don't know if I had that I knew that I had my spot on the team. You're a guy, you didn't start until senior year of North Miami Beach. You only got two offers, which I'm sure certainly contributed to your motivation at FIU to prove yourself that you belong. And then obviously, you know, coming out of Conference USA, you're not a Power 5 blue blood. You're not going to get initial respect in the NFL. You kind of have to prove yourself once again, no matter what you did in the Sun Belt. How often do you see complacency be an issue? Have you always felt you've had a chip on your shoulder, something to prove? Do you prefer to be in a position battle, you know, if there's a situation where, you know, there's another couple of good safeties on the team? Do you find that maybe subconsciously you're performing or getting after it more each and every practice rather than when you know you have that starting spot? Just does that make sense, that dynamic?
Yeah.
Just take me through that.
I tell you, you know, for me, when I got into the league, you know, like I said, my first motivation was just that, you know, I was that guy who came from FIU, you know what I mean? And even in the draft, I was passed up by other safeties ahead of me. And I would say, I wasn't sure, was it because they were better than me or not? Maybe it had to be something to do with the school I came from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all those uncertainties, and then, you know, me going into a team as a rookie, like I said, I would never want to be someone that you had to carry along. You know, and at the end of the day, I wanted to be able to carry my own weight. So that definitely motivated me to be the best I could for years. And throughout my whole time in Jacksonville, those 4 years, yes, I was a starter every year. And I was projected to be that starter, but to be honest with you, what I saw happening in an organization, understanding that it's not a college locker room no more, it's a pro team, and guys will be here one day and literally gone the next, or will be playing on a Sunday and literally be cut once they get pretty much their cut on the plane, damn near sometimes. The things that I saw, not only in my locker room, but just around the league. I remember as a young guy, I remember Trent Richardson getting released or traded from the Browns, which was crazy to us.
Yeah.
He was just the third pick overall in the NFL draft, and he didn't even get through his rookie contract. So it just puts a lot of stuff in perspective. So I definitely had the hunger and just to prove myself every day and didn't take anything for granted, because I also live a life where, you know, I don't want to live with regrets. So whether I would have been in the league 2 years or 10 years, I would be able to walk away and say, you know, at least I did all I could. So as far as family motivation to do that, I definitely did it all 4 years starting in Jacksonville. And then going into my next 2 years at Tennessee, it was a kind of rejuvenation, because now it's a new team. You got to reprove yourself all over again. And I'm real excited about that. And then it's funny, in those 2 years in Tennessee, I battled through injury. And I ended up going to my next team, which was the Philadelphia Eagles, and it put me in a different position where now I had to battle for a position, fight for a spot, and where it, I was in unfamiliar territory. You know what I mean? And you asked me, do I prefer one? Let me just get this clear. I prefer not to have to fight for my position.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
We all would, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, it brings honestly, it felt like it brought that that 2009 freshman NFIU Jonathan Sipri football player back out. You know,
yeah,
that's all it brought out of me, and I'm confident enough in my ability. To this day, I believe that there is not enough safeties on all 32 teams NFL rosters that are better than me. You know,
yeah.
So that just makes me sleep well at night. I understand once me healthy is a very productive player, as productive as I've been my entire career, and that's what eases me. But definitely stepping on the field, whether it's a competition or whether it's a competition with myself, is how I personally push myself.
And the thing is, there's usually always some facet you can find to latch on to have that motivation. I'm sure when you come back, it's going to be showing everybody that you're the pre-injury form of yourself and will be just fine moving forward. Like, you can find that motivation pretty easily. Hey, I want to ask you this. Step away from the football field here. Jacksonville, Nashville, Philly, Atlanta. Which city itself did you like the most? Was the best place to live out of those four? Those are four solid cities. You got to stay in I'm sure you liked to stay in Jacksonville. You got to stay in state for a couple of years coming out of college. If that was any stop of the four to be your first, I'm sure that was nice. But I mean, which one of those four? I mean, did you appreciate things about all of them? What was the best here?
I appreciate something out of all of them, but I'll have to say Tennessee. Is a place I lived for a good amount of time, for 2 years, and the city is wonderful.
Nashville's fun.
Great. Yeah, it's fun. It's a great time. It would definitely be a toss-up between Tennessee and Philadelphia as far as cities, living, and everything, just the whole nine. But Tennessee will outweigh them. I have to go with those guys.
Well, you said you played a little bit, at least, of music growing up, right? Did Nashville appeal to any of that musical background for you? Or did you ever take advantage of that?
Oh, I mean, you know, you might get just find me in your local karaoke bar.
So Sip was up at the karaoke bar. There's got to be footage of that somewhere. That's awesome. Let me ask you this here. I was listening to that pod, the Shula Bowl pod, just doing some prep here. You said you definitely could be around FIU more. You probably will post-career. You got things to do. You got things to train for. You can't be around the alma mater all the time. But I know you were able to come back pretty recently for that flag football challenge. We had Carlos in town, T.Y. and John U. You know, how much fun is it to come back for those, to realize and kind of see part of the tradition that you helped build and even connect with the guys and the staff that's here now? Have you gotten a chance to talk to Butch and some of the current staff? And how much fun is it to just link up with the FIU fam at things like that?
Yeah, it's so much fun. I appreciate it every time. Just to walk back in the locker room where I once was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even embracing the coaches. I mean, the first time I met Coach Butch was when I was getting drafted, and I was at the combine. And it was either combine or the senior. Yeah, it was the combine. And I had a personal, I think, interview, a one-on-one interview with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Coach Schiano, and right behind him was Butch. And that was the first time I met him. That's when he was on their staff. And obviously, you know, a couple of years later now, he's the head football coach for my alma mater. So it's an awesome feeling to go back and just to be even recognized, you know, for everything that you've done for the university. And just to go there and witness the guys out there doing the same thing that you did, it kind of brings me back to what I do in my foundation. Kind of like, you know, a reason I wanted to do it is because I see myself and the same kids that are doing the same things that I've done in my neighborhood once upon a time. So it's cool just to sit back and take it all in.
Yeah, I want to reference that too before I get to what you're binging right now and just a little chat about your real estate endeavors too. I do want to bring up what you've been up to. I saw you were you and a good squad got out into the community. You're delivering groceries, part of your foundation with Sip Squad. Now, how important is that? I know you got a lot of pride in North Miami Beach. I think what was it, last year, 2 years ago. You got the key to the city. I mean, that's your place, man. Just tell me a little bit about how you've been helping out the town through Sip Squad, and I know that's really important for you.
Yeah, well, my foundation is called Sip Squad At Risk Youth Foundation, and pretty much we have events raising money to help provide support and other choices to open doors for kids that are less fortunate enough to put themselves in those positions. You know, that's anything from summer camps to after school programs to a gift on Christmas. So yeah, that's what my foundation does, and I'm passionate about it, and hope that it can grow years to come.
That's awesome. Bigger than the game. That's obviously paramount, and being able to help out during times like this, invaluable for so many people. And you can find out more about that foundation, I think, with the article you wrote and the Players Tribune and through your Twitter. All right, starting to wrap things up here. And again, Sip, appreciate the time you're taking here. Hey, real estate, you've bought a couple properties in different cities. What's the latest on the market right now? Just holding steady, things kind of quiet. What's the latest with real estate? I know when you got into the league, you heard about, you know, investing in properties. You know, saving money means investing money. You had that line and have that philosophy. But just take me through the latest with that. Once you got in the league but for a couple of years, then I know you felt more comfortable, right? You didn't want to go investing right away. Just take me through that dynamic of real estate and when that interest kind of started for you.
Yeah, well, coming into the league, I didn't do any investing or just putting my money anywhere. Just, you know, as a kid growing up with none of it, you know, and just being warned so much about how athletes go broke, you know, yeah. I was really tight and didn't want to just lose it. You know, everybody has their hands out, so they say. And first 2 years, you know, just want to make sure you're doing right by your money. So first thing I did was hold on to it, which I recommend to any young athlete who finds themselves in that position. From there, I'll just say what I did was 2 years coming to the league, I wanted another source of income. I started off with two properties with a landlord of mine who helped me out and pretty much became my mentor. And to fast forward the story, I'm 15 properties in and looking to add one or two every year.
All right, we have a lot of time on our hands right now. So you binging? You got any binge-worthy shows you're watching at the moment? Something caught your eye?
You know, I already got through a couple. We've been in this quarantine for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we have.
So I'll say I've been watching, I've seen Money Heist.
Okay.
I just started another one. It's in a different language, just like Money Heist is, but it's called Elite.
I haven't heard of that. What is that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
I've been watching on Netflix right now. And, I know I can give you one more that I watched. What was it? All-American had a new season.
Oh, that's right. That's been trending on Netflix. That's a good one. That's worth giving a try.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you haven't watched All-American, you got to check it out.
All right, the one that's obviously taken the country by storm. Have you finished Tiger King? Did you watch that?
Oh, I watched Tiger King as well.
Okay, so I'm only on the third episode actually, but I gave in. There's certain shows I think that you just have to watch to be a part of conversation, I suppose, and that's one of them.
Yeah. That's Carol Baskin. Baskin.
Carol Baskin. She a trending topic. No doubt.
We make her richer and richer every time. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's something else. Hey, Sip, appreciate the time. I know FIU. We're proud. I know you're proud of FIU. I saw your tweets during the Miami game going nuts. And it's a lot of what the programs do now is based on the foundation of when. And guys like you and TY and Wes and a lot of people were there. So I appreciate you taking some time. I hope you stay safe through all this. And hopefully we're back on the gridiron here sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Go Panthers.
All right. Pause up. That's Jonathan Cyprian taking some time on the FIU Athletics Podcast.